I want to talk about today, I want to talk about this year, salt, and about light. You know, and I know that I'm probably not going to tell you anything that, you know, you say, we've read that scripture before, and I know it, but I've been told we need to hear things about 21 times before it, a little bit, 5% sinks in, so you're going to hear it today again. But before we read the scripture, can we just pray? Lord, we know that when we open your word, the Holy Spirit isn't present, Lord. It is just like another meeting. And Lord, we pray this morning that your Spirit will be present here in such a tangible way, Lord, that your word will touch our hearts and our minds, and it will really change us, Lord. We thank you that we can come together in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and we know that you are in our midst. And we just pray that as we look at your word, Lord, that it will become life to us. In Jesus' name. Yeah, I want to read Matthew 5, verse 13 to 16. And I'm going to talk mostly about verse 13 and 14. But let us read that. It says, "You are the salt of the earth. But if salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? Now, it's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men." And then it goes on and says, "You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put a bowl over it," you know, put it under a bowl. "Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they can see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven." You know, Jesus was actually talking to his disciples. I always thought he was, you know, it was on the hill there, and he was talking to the crowd, but he was actually talking to his disciples at the time. But this crowd had, you know, come along, and they're sitting on the hill there, and he says to them, specifically to the disciples, but obviously I think he probably thought, let the other people hear what I'm going to say. And he says, "You are the salt of the earth." And maybe in other words, it could be put like, you can make a difference in society. You know, if one thinks about the people that were sitting there, you know, it's not a, you know, a gathering of the United Nations or some superpowers or, you know, a parliament or something. It's a few small crowds sitting on a little hill in little Palestine. And if you think about the people that are sitting there, you know, it's some fishermen, a tax collector, not people of high position, and maybe also didn't have that much, such high ambitions, but, you know, and even the country was under occupation, and they couldn't even determine their own future. But here Jesus says, "You are the salt of the earth." Now, you know, and I thought, if we are really the salt of the earth, then Can we say that? Are we the salt of the earth? And what is the earth? Is it the church, or is it the earth? You know, and I just started pondering on that and thought, you know, today the world, the earth, is actually pretty corrupt. And I think Jesus at the time, when he looked at the situation around him, he probably thought, this earth needs salt because it's decaying. And in scripture, it actually says that, you know, evil men will become more evil. And in the last days, It says people will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, and it goes on. That doesn't sound like it's getting better. You know, it's actually a bit stupid or ridiculous or pipe dream to think that the world is getting better. Now, I don't want to bring such a bad message here, but it's bad and it looks like it's getting worse and it needs salt. And what we see, you know, in the church, unfortunately, we see a lot of Christians with long faces, afraid to go out, afraid to engage because they feel guilty that if I do this, then I'm not really doing, you know, enough for the kingdom, and I feel condemned, and you know, and I'm saying this because, you know, I experience it. Okay, so it's you know, you have this almost these two lives, and that is something that I, you know, is this church life and this other life, you know, this work or school or university or family or social life. And there's this struggle between what I would call, you know, between the sacred and the secular. And that's what something I want to just talk about there, this struggle between the sacred and the secular. And now, why am I, you know, talking about this when we look at this here? But I will get to it. You know, when Jesus didn't say, be the salt of the church, he said, be salt. You know, you are the salt of the earth. And if we are not influencing the world around us, then we are not really the salt of the earth. You know, when I looked at some other scriptures, and I thought, where, you know, can I just, you know, I've been actually driving a lot between, not such a lot, but three times a month between Windhoek and Swakop, and I've been trying to meditate on some scripture and really try and make it alive, you know, that, and I've been trying to memorize some scripture. You know, I struggle to memorize scripture always. And, you know, I sit in the car and I, you know, and it's really been a blessing to, you know, I looked at, tried to memorize Psalm 121, you know. And just to meditate on it, as you try and memorize scripture, you try, the way I try and memorize it to have a picture, you know. And it says, you know, in Psalm, I'm not going to go through the whole psalm, but, you know, when it says, I lift my eyes to the hills, where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord. And then it says, the maker of heaven and earth. And then you can pray around it and say, Lord, you know, help me. You are the maker of heaven and earth. And you can pray, you know, and it really becomes, you know, an encouragement as you go through it. And I looked at some other scripture, and I, you know, in John 17, I haven't got it up there. You know, in verse 15 it says, and it's actually the Lord Jesus praying, and he says to the Father, my prayer is not that you take them out of the world. Okay, so he's saying in that verse 15, he doesn't want us to be out of the world. And then in the very next sentence, however, it says, they are not of the world. You know, and that, and then one verse later, he says, I sent them into the world. And then later in 1 John, the Holy Spirit actually says to John, do not love the world or anything in the world. Now, this seems a bit, you're like, in the world and not in the world or not of the world. So if I can, you know, summarize, I would say probably says something like, the Lord is saying it, I want you in the world, but not of the world. I have sent you to the world, but don't love the world. Now it seems no wonder that we have this struggle between the secular and the, you know, and the sacred. You know, and if we are to be the salt of the earth, we have to understand this and we have to cope with this. That to be in the world but not of the world. He sent us into the world. He actually sends us into the world. You know, and I tried to look for an example, and Daniel, I thought, was a good example. You know, Daniel and his friends were in Babylon, in Nebuchadnezzar's palace, and they were in there, and they actually mastered, his friends and Daniel, they mastered the Babylonian literature on astrology and other things, but it says that they resolved not to defile themselves. So they were in the world, if we can say, in Babylonia, in the temple, but they were not off the temple. But they didn't see it wrong to look at what the literature on astrology, and actually at that time, the interpretation of dreams was seen as pagan. It was a pagan thing. It wasn't but when Daniel heard, that the wise men that Nebuchadnezzar had called to interpret his dream and they were unable to do it, that he would basically chop off their heads, Daniel prayed to the Lord and said, help me to interpret this dream that they can be, don't kill them, So, and he prayed to God, and God helped him to interpret the dream, and what impact that had in the temple, in Babylon. Daniel was truly, I think, an example of being the salt of the earth. And in this, the scripture says, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. Therefore, we have to engage with the world. We cannot pull ourselves out and not engage, because then we can't be the salt of the earth. I would go as far as to say that we must look out for opportunities. We must actually go and look for opportunities where we can be the salt of the earth. Before I go, to the second half of this verse, which is actually quite a, can salt actually lose its saltiness? And I want to actually go into that a little bit. I want to just look at these seven words again. It says, you are the salt of the earth. And the you, and I just thought, is it me? How was Jesus actually? He was talking to a group of people. He wasn't saying, Peter, you are the salt of the earth. He was saying, you are the salt of the earth. So it's a plural thing. It's not a grain of salt. It is actually a tablespoon of salt that makes a difference in a pot of soup, And if you can make a difference together, I think it's so important that that we understand that it is we as a community of Christians can make a difference. If we are not islands, we can't do it on our own. When the Lord says, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, it's by your love for one another. It's not by being on my own and praying on my own. It is actually saying, by this shall the world know that you are my disciples. So I thought, what would this city, I know Emmaus always says it's a city, not a town. How would this city look like without the salt, the Christians? How would the Erongo region look like without the Church of Christ? And even what would our nation be without the conscience of the people of God. We are the salt, the Christians, we are the salt of Namibia. There is no other salt. It's the people of God are the salt. And if we don't make a difference, then we are not the salt. And that is it. There's no other salt. But let us look at this second part of that verse 13. It says, but if salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. Again, who was Jesus talking to? He was talking to his disciples. So he isn't talking now to another group and saying, these people are not salty. He's saying, if you lose your saltiness, then you are of no use to the world, to the earth. And I want to go, and then that's what I said earlier, you know, can salt actually lose its saltiness? Now, I don't know whether it's a man thing or whether it's an engineer thing or what it is. We always want to go into this a little bit more technical, you know. And it's actually, and I'm not saying that I'm going to do a little chemistry 101 lesson here. And I'm not saying that it is all 100% correct. I hope there might be some chemical engineers amongst us here that might say, nah, that's not right. But I'm trying to make a point. And I actually, you know, when I was thinking of this, and I thought maybe my wife is not going to be in the first service here, I can say this. And I think it's best. You know, I thought about this example, you know, where you try and make an example of something, and you go down this path, and then you suddenly find out, doesn't make sense, let me find something else, you know. And there was this, and I think many of you might know this this story, but there was this guy that, you know, after work, he went to, you know, like many of the guys, they want to, I'm just going to have one beer, you know. Goes to the Brauhaus and sits there at the bar, and you know, it's just some, you see that when you go and eat there, you see this guy comes in, sits there, looks, you know, and then suddenly some other guy comes next to him and wouldn't they look after Kans vertel you? And the other sit there and dan wil hulle mos nie met mekaar praat, soos op die vliegtuig, en partykeer dan moet ek nou iets sê, of gaan ek nou die hele tyd praat, of iets. Maar die eerste ding wat is, jy praat oor sport, of die weer, of iets, en dan vraag jy ons, wat doen jy? Nou sê die ander ou, sê vir hom, ek is een wiskundige. Toe, hy gaan nou hoop, sê vir hom, wat is een wiskundige? En hy sê die ou nie, die wiskundige, hy maak somme. Sê hy, wat is een som? Sê die ou nie, ek verduidelik vir jou, dis, as jy nou 11 het, en jy trek 7 af, dan het jy 4. En dan as jy nog 6 aftrek, dan het jy minus 2. Sê die ou nie, ek weet ek verstaan. En toe drink hulle. En hulle gaan aan na en aan. Toe moet hy, denk hy, ek wil af hier by die huis wees, nou is dit al 11 uur. En gaan hy na huis toe en net soos hy by die deur kom en hy wil die deur so vat, toe vlieg die deur so oop, dat hy so daar insurf eigenlijk met die suction, weet, op hierdie welcome mat, surf hy daar in die huis in, en daar staan sy vrou. Nee? En dan vraag sy, en dan wil sy nou van hom af weet, hoe laat is dit? Nee, sê, weet jy hoe laat is dit? En hy denk, hoekom vraag sy nou vir my, hoe laat is dit? En, waar was jy? En toe sê hy nou, nee, ek was by 'n wiskunde les. Wat weet jy van wiskunde? En sê, nee, ek verduidelik vir jou. Nou is dit hierdie story van, example. Ek wil nou example van, waar die example verkeerd miskien loop, maar sê nou daar's 'n bus. Nee. En hy ry en hy tel 11 mense op. Daar sit nou 11 mense in die bus. En hy ry in die dorp en daar klim 7 mense af. En daar is nog 4 mense op die bus. En ry hy aan. En dan klim maar 6 mense af. En dan moet daar weer 2 mense opklim dat daar niemand op die bus is. So ek hoop nie ek hierdie chemistry les is so dat ek nou skielik moet backpedal en but there are some people that say salt can't lose its saltiness, but I want to look at 2 examples here, and one is the first one is, what is salt? The salt is, this salt here is actually sodium chloride, NaCl. I don't know why the English, in Afrikaans kan hy natrium chloride is it, ne? Sodium, Na. You would think it's SO or something, but it's sodium chloride. And when salt is added to water, it actually, the Na goes one way and the Cl goes the other way. And it dissolves. Okay, maybe we can, you see there? So there's these little red and white things. I put an O and the 2 H's, H2O. This one there. And then the Cl is there in between the water and the Na also. Now if we think about, if we have a bucket of water and we put 1 grain of salt in there and stir the water, we will probably not, and we taste the water before and we taste the water afterwards, we'll probably not taste the difference, because it's so diluted, that even the water that we have here, let's have a look quickly here. It's got chlorine less than 1 milligram per liter. And what is sodium? Nasty sodium, no sodium. 1. Okay. So there is already salt in there. So if you put 1 little grain of salt in water, it's diluted. Now, if I see myself as a grain of salt, and I go out into the world, I may get diluted, and not actually be the salt, because I'm so diluted with the things of the earth that I find it very difficult to be the salt of the earth. And this is where I wanted to just re-emphasize the fact of it is you, the plural, the salt of the earth. Yesterday morning we were at this, everybody goes to, when there's something new opens, everybody goes there. At the nursery, there's this little coffee shop and monkey puzzle, it's called. And I looked at the salt pot and I turned, there was salt all over the place. But I looked at the salt and I see there's not one hole in there, so that 1 grain comes out, another grain comes out. There's a lot of holes in there. And when we put salt on our food, it's not 1 grain of salt we put. And so we, as the people of God, should, it is a community thing that we should be out there, And if you go to the next one there, you see that picture there? That looks a little bit more like being, that water is salty. It is not diluted. We depend on each other. We need to support each other, because together we can make a difference in this earth as salt. But the second lesson, chemistry 102, looks a little bit more complicated. Don't worry about the thing too much there. But salt actually, maybe the first one people will say, still salt. If you evaporate the water, you still got salt there. But if you don't evaporate, the water is very diluted, you know, and you lose, it seems like salt has lost its saltiness. But if you have water, salt water in a bath, and you actually put electricity through it, you know, the battery, and then the current goes through it, the Na and the Cl, the chlorine goes to the one side, to the positive side, and the sodium goes to the negative side, because positive and negative attract each other, and the other ones go there. And then the chlorine actually forms chlorine gas, and you know, little bubbles go, and it's gone. And your chlorine is no longer in the water. So you haven't got salt. It's no longer NaCl because the Cl is gone. And that is, I thought about how can that describe the influence of the world in our lives. If we allow things like, you know, we say, yeah, we know, you know, premarital sex is wrong, but 2014, you know, it was old thing, you know. I know that the Bible says I shouldn't lie, but, you know, the speed cop there next to the road, you know, I had to give him a bribe or something like that, you know. And if we allow these electric shocks or electric current to go through our life all the time, we will lose our saltiness, you know. And we have, if we lose our chemical composition, you can put it that way, and we will lose our saltiness. And I think when Jesus was saying to them, if salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? And it's probably talking about this one here. How can it be made salty again? It can't. This there is something else now. You've got sodium hydroxide and something else in there. And it's no salt anymore. And you can actually just throw out and tread upon it. Now let's look at verse 14. I'm not going to keep you that long. I promise the second half of this, the light won't be that long. You are the light of the world, it says. And it goes on to say, you know, that a city on a hill can't be hidden. And it's that people will not light a lamp and then put it under a bowl. You know, salt might be subtle in its, you know, if you look at it, and if I put a little bit of salt in here and shake it up and leave it here, people will still think, oh, it's normal water. Only when you taste it, you see, oh, it's salty. But, and it's almost like our influence, when you think about the influence of salt, is more of a, you know, our effect on society's thinking and our lives and that. But the light has to be visible. Light is visible. And we cannot say that, you know, my faith is a private thing, because Jesus is saying it's not private. Jesus is saying, let your light shine, that people can see it. So, if we look at light, and I'm not going to go to physical science 101 or anything like that, but light, I just want to, you know, I have a light bulb here, and this is actually pretty useless as it is here, because it doesn't give any light. You know, and it has to be, light requires an energy source, you know, and even a candle standing here, so, you know, it needs an energy source. And this bulb needs an energy source. And, you know, if we can, again, picture, if we are to be the light of the world, where's our energy coming from? Where's our energy coming from so that we can show our good deeds? And I think there's a number of them, and one of them is here, you know, really to you know, like I said earlier, really to meditate on this word, go into it and really just read a short portion of it and say, Lord, you know, just make it alive to me, Make it alive so that I can live it out in the world. And of course we have the Holy Spirit within us, an energy source that will never run dry. You know, we have to be the light of the world. And I think we have got our brothers and sisters that can support us in terms of the energy that we need so that we can actually be the light. Now light also, secondly, has only one purpose. You know, I thought about this, and what is the purpose of light? It's actually to drive out darkness. You know, that's the only thing. You know, if we were sitting inside of here, it's dark outside and we close everything and we don't have any lights on, it's dark. And if somebody just lights a match, you know, probably everybody will look there and say, oh, there's a light. You know, now suddenly I can see. And it's as if the darkness disappears. And so too, you know, for us, we have one purpose, that is to be light, so that we let the darkness, you know, don't let the darkness take over in our world. And I think the Lord Jesus, when he said, you are the light of this world, you know, I just wonder what he, you know, what he thought when he said that, and said, you know, just know this, understand this, that you are the light of the world. If you aren't the light, there will be darkness. So we have to be the light of this world. And maybe thirdly, you know, light is of no value if it is hidden. And that was the second half of, you know, in verse 15 actually, when it says, neither do people light a lamp and put a bowl over it, because then it doesn't serve any purpose. To keep a light hidden away is actually useless. It doesn't make sense. And so too, the Lord says we are the light. If we keep ourselves hidden in here, then we can't be the light. You know, if we keep ourselves hidden, we in our place of work, and I'm not going to, this is my private thing, you know, in church, I'm not going to be the light over here, then we are not the light. You know, and it says also the light is put on its stand, actually. You know, if you want to be the light, then you must put yourself there where people can see you, where people can actually, when it says, you know, let your good works, that people can see it, because then they will praise your Father in heaven. Now we must have an impact in this world if we want to be the light. You know, and if you want to, that people will know that we are his disciples. We cannot, it will just, we will not have a life that is exciting, a life that is alive, if we don't put our light on the lampstand. You know, I've heard it, actually read it, that said that some Christians are like an Arctic river, frozen at the mouth. And that we, you know, we don't talk about it, we don't show the light, we don't have an influence in the people around us. You know, and we must just remember that Jesus didn't say, you ought to be the light of the world. He says, you are the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth. And so let's take it, you know. And then the last verse, it personalizes it when it says, let your light shine before men, that they may see your deeds and praise your Father in heaven. So the message is really simple with a light. It's just let it shine. You know, I want to really encourage you that even let it shine even in those circumstances where people hate you, people ridicule you, people make a joke about you. You know, that is where we can shine. You know, do not hide your testimony. If you hide your testimony, you are preventing what this word says here. You're actually preventing people to praise the Father in heaven. So there's one single reason, I think, why we should be the salt that is really salty and the light that is on a lampstand. And that is that we might glory, you know, that people might glorify our Father in heaven. And if I can just lastly just say that if you can go out of here and just say, man, let me look for opportunities. Let me actually create opportunities to be the salt and to be the light. You know, we've got many, many opportunities daily, and we can actually create opportunities where we can be the salt and the light in our community, in our country. So let's go out and be the light and the salt. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we just thank you that you have given us your word. You've given us your Holy Spirit to be the light, to be the salt, to dispel darkness, to stop decay, Lord. Father, we just thank you that we can just from your word see that we don't have to do this on our own, Lord, but we have, Lord, your word and the Holy Spirit to guide us and to help us. And we just thank you that we can take comfort from that. We can take encouragement from that and go and be the people that you want us to be, Lord, that to be the salt, to be the light. And Lord, we really pray that when we go out from this place, Lord, we go to our families, we go to our work, Lord, our schools, wherever we are, Lord, that we can be the light and the salt. Father, that we can have the joy, the abundant life, Lord, the joy of your salvation within us, Lord, and really be a joy to you and glorify your name. Lord, we just exalt you this morning and thank you. Thank you for your presence. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.